What's up, y'all? Welcome back to returning listeners and welcome to new listeners. I'm your host, Christina Royster, and this is YBO, Young Black and Opinionated. Make sure you follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at the YBO Podcast. And you can follow me on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter at Miss Chris D, MissChrisDee. I almost forgot my own handle. All right, so on today's episode, I'm going to be telling y'all all about my new favorite fall TV shows. I'm going to be talking about a movie that I watched, so you don't have to, because it was kind of bad. And then I'm going to dive into low vibration plates. What does that even mean? Let's get into it. Before we dive into Put Y'all On, how are y'all doing, my listeners, YBO fam? How are y'all doing? Because I listened to a T.D. Jakes sermon today, and he was like, the heat in hell has risen. Like, the heat has turned up. For some reason, I don't know what's in the air. I don't know if Metrograde, what's it called? Mercury retrograde. I don't know if it's like a super long retrograde or what's going on, but I feel like something is definitely in the air. So I hope y'all protect y'all energy and please do what brings you peace, because hell is definitely hot and it's spilling over into the earth. It's crazy. And I also been thinking about that because I've been watching some bad election campaign commercials and stuff. Yeah, it's getting about that time, y'all. So with that, I hope you're also registered to vote. Now let's get into Put Y'all On. Put Y'all On is a segment of the show where I put y'all on to my favorite thing of the week. And this week I'm talking all about TV because it's the fall season and TV is back. I've also been watching football. Can't believe I'm actually that into football, but the Giants are 4-1, I think. So that's my team, y'all. That's I said I think because I'll be watching, but listen, I don't be paying attention to the records and the sports betting and the fantasy. I don't do all that, but I do enjoy watching on Sunday with my man. So fall is back and all these new TV shows, right? Of course, you know, Law and Order, I already told y'all that I did watch the 3-hour premiere, and I've continued to watch Law and Order, and this season they had an episode about the NYC subway shooting, and it's just crazy. This is what I'm talking about, like, hell is spilling over. It's just crazy stuff going on. Like, I can't believe that happened, and now they're 2 months later putting it on TV, but anyways, I'm not just talking about Law and Order. I'm talking about some new shows. And both of them I can watch on Hulu. And I'm surprised that, you know, I always talk shit about Hulu. And, you know, Netflix and HBO Max are my top streaming services. But Hulu is definitely turning it around. And maybe it has to do with their whole Disney connection. You know how it's like Hulu TV plus now. That's what they joke in their own commercials. Because I think that Hulu was kind of sinking, like I said before. I actually remember one of my friends, she had an in. She had a know-how or whatever. She knew somebody, and they worked at Hulu or something. I remember telling you guys on the podcast, like, yeah, Hulu's not going to be around for much longer. I think that Disney deal, the, you know, ESPN Plus, all those add-ons, I think that definitely helped them. And, yeah, I'm watching myself. I'm surprised. And so one show that I've been watching on Hulu, which isn't really a Hulu, it's on ABC, but I watch it on Hulu the next day. Same thing at this point, Disney, Hulu, whatever, right? This show is Alaska Daily. This show is starring Hilary Swank, and if you're like my boyfriend who, he's always like, how do you know all these actors' names? If you don't know who Hilary Swank is, she is our white homegirl from Freedom Writers, and I think that is probably her most popular film amongst black people. And Hilary Swank, I mean, she's a phenomenal actress. She's had a lot of other accolades besides Freedom Writers, but she is playing basically this disgraced journalist. And I feel like that's how every show starts, right? Every show, like, follows some, like, fast-paced journalist who's always getting the scoop. And it's like, that's not how it is in real life. But whatever, we're going to enjoy it for TV. And so she's disgraced. First episode, she screwed up a story. Her source was wrong. She got canceled or whatever, whatever. And her character at first is not very likable. She's, like, a hard ass. So you're like, ugh. But she gets knocked down a few pegs. And then she has to become a writer at an Alaska paper. That's like the only job she could get. But not only that, she really is in it to really solve a mystery. And the mystery is the missing and murdered Indigenous women. And I love that this show is talking about that, because just like we've talked about Black and Brown Missing People and the Black and Missing Foundation, there's also a problem with just people of color in general, but specifically in that Canadian, you know, northern area, Alaska. For some reason, indigenous people just go missing. And the police don't care. The police don't look into it. Same as black and brown folks. But on this show, and now that I'm thinking about it, oh, I guess it is kind of white savior. Like, oh, now all of a sudden this white journalist is interested and she's bringing some vivor back to the case. But whatever. I don't care what color you are. The point is she is bringing light to it. She is shedding light to it. And I have to say it does help that they have a diverse cast for me because, you know, I need to see some people of color. I want to see, I want you to really show the world that we live in, you know? And when I go into spaces, it's not all white people. So on this show, it's not all white people. Of course, they have indigenous people. There's a black character. I'm secretly hoping he gets with the Asian girl. And this must be like the most diverse city in Alaska because in this one office, they have like every race. There's a gay Hispanic guy, but I love the show so far. It's only on like episode 2, but it really is a great start. I knew I would like it just from the commercials, like true crime, investigative journalism, Hilary Swank, what's not to like. So definitely check out that show, Alaska Daily. The other show that I'm really interested in is Reasonable Doubt. Y'all, if you haven't watched this show, it's a nice like little like soapy binge. I don't know. It's not too soapy, but it's borderline, you know, because this is written by the same woman who wrote Scandal, and on top of that, it's directed by Kerry Washington. So you know it's giving Scandal vibes. It's giving How to Get Away with Murder vibes because the woman is a lawyer. It's also giving a little bit of power because it's just like weird, like, sex scenes. At one point, like, she was fucking the Mr. Is it a Mr. if you have a male mistress? She was fucking the Mr. and her husband was watching from the webcams. Just weird shit that they would do on Power. You know, like that, I don't know, greed. And it also is a little bit of power because the guy, he's like a billionaire liquor owner and he gets accused of killing this woman. So just lots of like love triangles and all this stuff going on. But it's also a little bit of insecure because it's like, these grown, successful black women in their 40s, she's off the clock, she's working a tough case. The case, by the way, the guy who plays her client is Sean Patrick Thomas. I believe we know him from Save the Last Dance. A lot of people know him from Save the Last Dance. I don't know who did it yet. The last episode I saw, because the bottom line is there's a girl dead, first episode. And it was his mistress. And so everybody's like, oh, he did it. You know, the billionaire liquor owner or whatever. But the last episode, his wife was looking pretty guilty. His white wife was sounding very bitter about the black mistress. And I believe she could have done something. If not killed her with her own hands, then at least had some type of part in it. So yeah, definitely check out Reasonable Doubt on Hulu and Alaska Daily on ABC. Or also Hulu. There's so many great shows out right now this fall season. Abbott Elementary. I'm still watching The Patient. If you're watching The Patient, what is your theory? Like, how is Steve Carell going to get out this basement? Because I don't understand why we're still in, like, episode 9 and he's still in this basement. I would have hit that dude over the head. And then I probably would still be stuck in the basement because he's just going to be passed out and I wouldn't have the keys. So let me know your thoughts. Let me know what y'all been watching. That's my put y'all on. All right, so this next segment I mentioned on Instagram this week. If you follow YBO, you heard me say this. If you don't follow YBO, go ahead and follow at the YBO podcast on Instagram and Facebook. So on the story, I had just finished a movie that has like 34% on Rotten Tomatoes. And so I put on the Instagram story, I said, I'm going to do a segment on this episode called I Watched It So You Don't Have To. Because there's a lot of movies out there. And it's like, oh, you're interested, and maybe you'll watch it, maybe you won't, and then somebody will tell you, don't waste your time. So I'm telling you, probably don't waste your time on this movie. If you just want a good laugh at, like, it wasn't a bad horror movie, but it wasn't really scary at all to me. It depends on your horror level. But what got me interested in this, and the movie, the title is They, Them, so check that out. But what got me interested in this is, you know, it's spooky season. It's October, it's Halloween. I was like, let me watch a scary movie. I have a Peacock trial I feel like I have every single streaming service at this point. Peacock got me looped into. And I think I only signed up for Peacock to watch Honk for Jesus. But I still have it, right? So I'm like, okay, what else they got on here? And Halloween, they have like they, them in the horror section. And I'm like, okay. I'm thinking that it's going to be a horror movie about some homophobic person killing people at a conversion camp. Not a homophobic person, not what you would think. And this is going to be a spoiler. So if you actually feel like watching this movie starring Kevin Bacon, go ahead, skip this part. And I'm going to give some spoilers to the people who are like, nah, I'm never going to watch it. Because it ended up being a scorned past student of the conversion camp, came back, faked like she was the camp nurse. Nobody remembered who she was, and turns out she was very bitter, rightfully so, about what they put her through, and so she came back to kill everybody. And I guess that was kind of expected, because towards the end, you're like, if you're like me when you're watching a horror movie, you're like, well, they literally can't be the killer because the killer just tried to kill them, unless it's like a Scream situation where there's like two killers or something. But in this case, I was like, okay, that person's kind of counted out. That person's counted out. It's not that person. And then all the adults started to die. And I was like, why only the adults and not the kids? And then when she revealed herself, I was like, oh, makes sense. But that means that she had to have a really quick costume change in between, hey, I'm going to go look for the others, and then popping up as the killer. So let me just tell you a little bit about the plot, too, while I'm, you know, telling you about this movie that I watched so you don't have to. First of all, when I saw the trailer for this movie, I thought to myself, conversion camps are creepy. Conversion camps should not exist. I think there still are some that exist out in Utah and places like that. A conversion camp is where they literally try to pray the gay away. And they think that they can just send a bunch of kids to a camp and whip them into shape. Literally because they are abusive. They have a history of being abusive. And so, number one, conversion camps are creepy. Number two, Kevin Bacon is creepy, to me at least. I don't know. For some reason, I always mix him up with Ethan Hawke also. But both of them, they just don't typically play nice characters. So Kevin Bacon is creepy. Then on top of that, a conversion camp in the woods with Kevin Bacon is just very creepy. So we start out, I'm like, okay, that's scary enough. That is the horror. Because the rest of it is just kind of like expected. So the whole point of the they, them title is, you know, conversion camps, it's usually gay kids. But there's one kid, they're like, I'm non-binary. So, of course, the conversion camp is like, too damn bad, you gotta sleep with the boys. And then there's also a transgender girl who identifies as girl. So she's like, I'm staying in the girls' cabin. And then somebody busts in on her taking a shower and saw she had a penis and was like, no, you need to sleep in the boys' cabin. This is what I'm talking about. Like, this is conversion camps. Like, this shit is just a violation of human rights. And I think one of the kids on the movie had a one-liner like, oh, the Geneva Court's got to say something about this. Because they literally, and I wouldn't put it past them if they do this in real life, but in the movie, they were like electrocuting kids. So yeah, it was bad. But that's the thing. They were super nice to your face. And the character Jordan, they were like, there's no Bible thumping here or queer bashing. Like, I thought y'all was going to try to pray the gay away. They weren't doing any of that. They were killing them with kindness and acting like, oh, we're going to get you into therapy. We're going to do all this. And trust me, y'all, it got weird. The therapist, that's the part where I knew, yeah, this is not a typical conversion camp. Like this. So at that point, my theory was like, oh, maybe they just lure kids to this camp just to kill them. Like, I don't know, maybe they think they're cleansing the earth or something. That was my theory as I'm watching this. You know, I'm thinking out loud watching this horror movie. Ask my man, I'm one of those people who talks the entire movie and I feel really bad, but it's good to watch movies by myself like this because I kept talking. I was like, okay, so they just kill people. No, I had it all wrong. The therapist went in the cabins, stole the non-binary kid's diary, read their thoughts, and then like regurgitated it back to them in therapy and was like, you'll never be anything. You're just nothing. You're not gay or whatever. You're just stuck in the middle and nobody cares. And that really struck a nerve. And I was like, damn, that is so hurtful for your therapist to read your diary and use that against you. That's when it clicked for me. I was like, oh, none of these people are licensed. None of these people are actually running a conversion camp. And I should have realized that earlier, but whatever. And so this movie, I wrote in my notes that this movie really makes you put yourself in their shoes, because you never really do hear a lot about non-binary folks in this space, in movies and television. It's always like the gay kid or the lesbian chick, but you never really hear their story. And so I will give it that. It did tell that, you know, the non-binary character, Jordan, I think they had a moment where they were singing Pink, what's the name of that song? Perfect. You're fucking perfect. Yes. Shout out to Pink. That I literally wrote that down in my notes. Shout out to Pink. That was the best part of the whole movie, because I feel like that's every gay kid's anthem in high school, like Pink. So yes, lots of character development. I wrote that down. I feel like they took way too much time on that, because I'm expecting a horror movie, right? I want to see a slasher. People need to be dying left and right. Why is it taking so long for people? I don't care about this person's storyline, to be honest. Although one character was super shady. It's this kid, Gabriel, you know, with the other kids, right? And he's like, yeah, I'm gay, I don't fit in, blah, blah, blah. Turns out he was a plant. Them niggas planted him. And he been doing this for years, apparently working on their behalf. Like, he was basically a plant to, like, tease the gay boys, and one boy caved and had sex with him, and they electrocuted him. It was a crazy show, y'all. Yeah, it was a crazy movie. So I'm glad I watched that by myself, because I don't think anybody else would have had the patience to watch that movie with me. And I wrote down typical ending, you know. Actually, not so typical. Yeah, everybody did die, but the girl, the killer, went to jail. And, you know, that's the movie that I saw. It's called They Them. It's on Peacock. And I watched it so you don't have to. All right, y'all, we're going to get into the main topic of this episode, low vibration plates. What does that even mean? If you don't really pay attention to, you know, Twitter trends and everything like that, this lady was going viral on Twitter because she basically said that her friend's cookout plate was low vibration. First of all, I am so tired of hearing the word energy, vibrations, vibes. Especially coming out of the mouths of people where I don't really think that you're spiritual to be talking about that. But what do I know? I don't know this lady personally, so I don't know her life. But basically, let me set the scene for you. It was like a yacht party, a women's retreat or whatever. And the woman who hosts this retreat is, what's her name? Stormy Wellington. She is a wealth coach with 1.4 million Instagram followers, and charges people up to $10,000 for this weekend of workshops. And I would love to know what those workshops are, because I feel like I go to a lot of conferences and networking events, and I keep hearing the same damn panels over and over, not learning anything. But I'll get to that in a second. So whatever, all these ladies pay her $10,000 to go on this weekend retreat, whatever. Wealth coach, right? And I'm using quotes, wealth coach. And she has cookout food. Why is the food even on the yacht? Let's talk about that. And I read an article and they were like, mind you, they all had the same food. I guess one lady, she piled her plate with, and her name is Tammy Price, and she's also, you know, her friend, and Tammy is Stormy's mentee or whatever. And that's another dynamic that's weird, right? Okay, so let's talk about that. But the whole vibration plate thing is, Tammy had a plate filled with chicken wings and mashed potatoes. What Stormy meant by low vibration was like, food is energy and you are what you eat. Definitely. If you eat a bunch of shit and eat junk food, your body's not going to feel good. But you're a wealth coach, not a health coach. So I don't even know what that has to do with anything. Actually, I think I found out that she also is one of those multi-marketing tummy tea people. So that's probably what she meant by we can't eat that, whatever. But it's like, you chose to have two chicken wings and a piece of corn on the cob, and all of a sudden that makes your plate high vibration. Like, this is what I mean by I can't take these people seriously on social media anymore, with the vibrations and the energy and the vibes. Like, What y'all need is God. What y'all need is spirituality. You don't need Givenchy. You need Jesus. That's what Jack Harlow said. And y'all really do. Because everybody just went crazy on Twitter like, oh, I guess I'm low vibration then. I guess I'm low vibration because I love me some mac and cheese and a hamburger and a corn on the cob and some baked beans. And I guess that's low vibration. And so the lady, she did an article with Rolling Stone and she tried to defend herself. And she was like, what I meant was, you know, food is energy and Tammy and I have a brand to uphold. That's what she said. As wealth and lifestyle coaches, we can't be seen eating like that because that, whatever, brand this and brand that, right? You got to uphold your brand, whatever. Listen to me. Listen to me clearly. Sweetie eats McDonald's. Like, there are people who eat low vibration foods and still live good lives. Honestly, like, it's neither here nor there. It's not about the plates. What I really wanted to talk about is the fact that people pay $10,000 for this. And I want to talk about, I posted this on the Instagram. Hear me out, y'all. Bear with me. I want to talk about how some of these women empowerment groups are really like cultish and not super cultish, I don't think. Not like, what's that cult that had two HBO documentaries? I can't think of the name right now. But the one where the man, basically, there was this cult in the early 2000s that was so powerful, they were even getting celebrities on board and like C-list actors on board because the whole idea of the self-help, right? The self-help, the empowerment, the TED Talks, the whole construct of that in America, it makes us feel good. That's it. We have a lot of sad, depressed, lonely people who just want to be part of a community, right? And they prey on that. And hear me out. It's not just Stormy, whatever her name is. It's mostly white people. There's no shade to my white listeners. But it's often like people just having this like follower mentality. And for some reason, the leader is mostly a white man. Look at all the famous cults. Look at Waco. Okay. It's usually a white man with a God complex. So that's why I said it's white people. I don't really be seeing a lot of black people in cults, right? Not traditional cults. But we do have our other cults. We have the 4X niggas. We have empowerment cults like this. These marketing schemes where I saw on Twitter, this lady was literally charging $10,000 for what? For some uplifting panels and a tote bag and a journal. Really, truly, it was like, if you pay this much, you just get the event. If you pay this much, you get the event and the tote bag. And I was like, a tote bag? A tote bag? That's what we're doing out here? But the reason I said that I see it's a lot of white people in cults is because I listened to a podcast a couple years ago, and I can't remember the name of it. I'm really good for that. But I do know I think it was a Wondery podcast. Wondery has great podcasts. It was one of those you know, storytelling, but like journalism podcast, right? And that's like every podcast. Never mind. You know what I mean. I think it was Wondery. The point is, the podcast was about this cult. I think it was called Spirit Warriors or something. Again, when people are desperate, they're looking for any type of self-help, spirituality, empowerment, whatever. People are so desperate, you're going to go to a fucking ayahuasca sweat lodge in Arizona with a white man? And guess what happened? Three people ended up dead. So his name is James Arthur Ray. He had a spiritual warrior retreat where people were seeking enlightenment. And this Oxygen article says, what they found was misery and death. But really, I don't want to make a joke out of it. Like, people really did lose their lives because... And then people say, like, well, we're all smart. We're all grown. Like, why would you join this? Like, obviously, it's a cult. Like, again, have you ever been desperate enough where you joined a youth group or something where you were just like, I need anything, a Bible study, anything. But I don't even want to put Bible study in the same category as a cult because that's not it. If you're going to the right type of Bible study with actual holy people, we need that in our lives. The Bible actually embraces relationship and community. We do need that. But then there are people like Stormy Wellington or whatever her name is who are telling you, no, you're not good enough. You're low vibration. You need to pay me $10,000 and I'll make you great. You need to find, you need to, you know what you could do? Find a free 99 podcast and read a book and self-help yourself. You don't need to pay somebody $10,000 for a self-help retreat. And then, you know, the woman, this is what I wanted to say about the mentee-mentor relationship, because she came to her defense like, oh, I knew what Stormy meant by that. We're friends, and she's mentored me a long time, and she mentored me from homelessness to a million-dollar mansion, so I trust her judgment, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, you really got clowned on Twitter, and everybody made a joke out of you because you wanted to eat some mashed potatoes, and your friend said you were low vibration. That's not a great friend, sweetheart. So, yeah. Make it, on the one hand, I want to say, like, get it how you live, you know, make your money, sis. If you want to charge people $10,000 a pop, you do you for this scam. Because what I was saying earlier is sometimes I go to these networking events, these conferences, and I leave, and I'm on a high. I'm like, yeah, oh my God, like, this is so awesome. And then the next day, like, back to reality, back to life. It's not like they're really changing your life. Only you can change your life, period. No sweat lodge is going to sweat your life's problems away. Like, and please listen to that podcast because it was a really crazy story. Because people were clearly, like, out of breath, like, couldn't breathe in the sweat lodge, and he wouldn't open the door. Like, that's murder. You just went from a spiritual enlightenment guru to a murderer. And I just really think that we need to be careful about, again, what I said at the top of the episode, like protecting your energy. And also, where we are also the content that we consume, right? So if you're reading these spirituality books and getting deep into something that you don't really think, like, hey, this isn't really self-help anymore, get out. You might be in a cult. Get out, seriously. Because I going back to the cult I was talking about at the top, and I can't remember the name of it. Somebody's probably thinking of it at home. It's that HBO documentary where the dude was like recruiting like C-list celebrities for his cult, which made it even more enticing to other people. But really, he was just like making these women his sex slaves. And these women were like anorexic and like starving themselves just because their master said so. If you start calling somebody master or daddy or anything like that, that is not God, I'm gonna need you to get out. You're in a cult. And I don't know, there's so many signs, but again, I can understand why it might be easy to slip into that because people are looking for an escape. People are looking for peace. And they're finding in all the wrong places. And that's what I meant by you are the content you consume. Even people who start, you know, waking up and listening to The Breakfast Club every day, and you think Charlamagne is the hottest piece of shit or whatever, you got to be careful with that too. Everything out there is not good. Everything out there is not for you. People might say self-help and empowerment and have different agendas. And somebody that comes to mind is Tony Robbins. I don't know necessarily if he's a quack or a hack job or whatever they say, but a whack job. That's when you put a quack and a crack job together, whatever. He's a whack job. Tony Robbins, he for some reason, his whole self-help empowerment thing just troubles me. I don't know why. And I was, funny enough, I was watching an episode of The Office recently, and Michael Scott was like, I just went to Tony Robbins' self-help conference. And I was like, that's the problem. If people like Michael Scott are going to his conferences, that's the problem. And it really is, it's so dorky. I tried to watch the Tony Robbins documentary on Netflix, and maybe I'll finish it. But it's so dorky. They all start like, you can be the best leader you can be if you just believe in yourself and buy my 10 books and my $200 package. Like, that's how all of these, Tony Robbins always seems so juiced up to me. He probably is on drugs. And yeah, that's why I'm just like, you want to take self-help advice from somebody like this? I don't know. So if y'all want to pay $10,000 to go on this lady's yacht party, and because, yeah, it was giving cult when she had all the ladies like stand in a half circle and like chant. Like, I can be the best. Like, it just, ugh, I don't know. I don't want to shit on self-help, but there's other ways. Read the Bible. Listen to a podcast. Join a small group. Join a Facebook group. Well, it probably is some cults on Facebook, too. Just find good, authentic people. That's the word, authenticity. Because I don't think some of these people are authentic. Even I myself recently have been thinking, like, I need to get into entrepreneurship. What can I do? And my mom's been telling me, like, ever since you were little, Christina, it's your voice. Your voice is your talent. Well, I'm not about to start marketing myself as a motivational speaker because people will be like, well, what she know about marketing? I mean, and that's the thing. I don't know Stormy, whatever her name is, life journey. I don't know what she's been through. I don't know what Tony Robbins been through. Maybe I do need to read up on him and find out. Maybe they do have a great story to tell. But I just mean, the point that I'm trying to make is, like, not everybody can be a motivational speaker. Not everybody comes from a good place. And this is definitely, definitely a money revenue. So if you want to get in on it, if you want to write a self-help book or a TED Talk or audio book, be my guest. But I'm not going to support anybody who puts other people down. And I guess if we don't all eat cucumber sandwiches, then we're low vibration. So. That's a wrap on episode 165. Thanks for listening. Subscribe if you haven't already. And follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at the YBO Podcast. As you can hear, sometimes I preview topics on the Instagram when I'm just watching TV and thinking my thoughts. And I'm like, I'm going to talk about this on the podcast. So you'll get some behind the scenes content, let's say, if you follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Miss Chris D, MissChrisDee. Bye.